You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at FanRag Sports and host of the 312 Show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. You can hit us up with all of your text messages, voicemails. We do mailbag every single Wednesday, playing your voicemails, answering your questions, and giving you the fans your overall reaction. So if you want to leave something for us on social media at Locked On Bulls or at 331-979-1369. Happy Friday to Bulls fans out there. Without further ado, we want to get to our interview today because this is one of the best interviews I think we've done recently. It's with actor, native of Evanston, Illinois, Northwestern grad, Chicago guy, and diehard Bulls fan, Zach Guilford. You know him from Friday Night Lights as Matt Saracen. He's got a lot of really cool and really great Bulls opinions, and I think a lot of Bulls fans are going to relate to him in that fashion. So he's got a ton of stories, and there's a Scottie Pippen story that you're going to want to listen for in this interview. So without further ado, here's Zach Guilford.
Right now, we are very, very pleased to welcome to Locked On Bulls. I'm personally thrilled. I know Jordan is too. He is an Evanston native, a Northwestern grad, a diehard Bulls fan, and an actor. Best known for his role as Matt Saracen on the hit TV show Friday Night Lights. He is Zach Guilford, a.k.a. QB1. Zach, thank you so much for joining us, man. It's a pleasure.
No, the pleasure's all mine. And I always joke, but it's not a joke at all, that I'm so happy that kind of the thing that broke me in any way was a sports show, because it's given me the opportunity to like be on the field at a Bears game or sit on the floor at a Bulls game. Are the best perks I could ever get from a career. Not that I get to do it regularly, but that I ever had the opportunity to. It's been amazing. No, but it's so funny. I mean, I remember even I was at a game once, and well, actually, I got to throw out the opening pitch for the White Sox, which was a huge honor because I grew up a White Sox fan. My family had season tickets, so we would drive all the way down to the South Side from Evanston. But I threw out the pitch, and I went on the field for like batting practice, and you know, the publicity guy or whatever introducing me to the players, and you know, they're all nice and cordial, like, yeah, okay, cool, nice. But you know, they're in the zone, they're getting ready for the game. And Quentin came up, he's like, oh yeah, nice to meet you. And it was like, you know, the year he was having his best year. And then all of a sudden he looks at me and he goes, holy shit, he dropped his helmet and his bat and hugged me. he was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And I was like, I can't believe this is happening to me. You know, getting to go in the locker room and stuff—the kind of moments that I think every fan dreams of, just getting to be there, and it was really cool.
Poor Carlos Quentin. I mean, he had a one-hit wonder, one-year wonder, where he was in the All-Star game. I think he was in the All-Star game at the at Yankee Stadium. But my first question for you, Zach, is: Are you ready to take the claim of being probably the most known celebrity to endorse an ambassador of the Chicago Bulls? Matt and I went back and forth multiple times over the last few weeks. We're like, you know, every NBA team out there seemingly has somebody that is a staunch, just diehard fan, more so about the basketball than the actual brand. And it's more so because where they come from. But me and him are going back and forth. We're like, the Bulls don't have anybody like that. Maybe it was different back when Jordan played. But right now, like, since they haven't been like sort of a finals contender, are you ready to take that title?
I would be honored to take that title. I don't know that it's true. I'm sure I could come up with someone a little more high profile than myself. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's so lucky now with whether it's the internet or, you know, I don't know, satellite, whatever, TV, just that, you know, you can be wherever and you can still watch the games and, you know, and overseas and finding ways to like watch games set. I don't know. I don't even remember how I got so into, well, I know I got really into the Bulls because I was, you know, 9 years old when they won their first championship, so watching Jordan and everything.
Right.
You know, my family wasn't, they weren't a sports family that's like, oh, we all watch every game and do da 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 da. So I don't know. For some reason, I don't know. I love Chicago sports. My best friend, Mitch, joked at my wedding. He was my best man. And he said, you know, I remember when we were growing up and we were all playing sports and Zach was trying to play sports. So I wasn't the most gifted athlete, but I really appreciated it.
Well, you're talking about being a diehard fan from back in the day. Growing up as a Chicago kid in the 90s, I'm right there with you. So it's really easy to fall in love with this team when that's how you get to know the sport of basketball. I got to call you out on something that I found on YouTube earlier today when I was doing my research. Apparently, you are such a diehard fan as a teenager that you and your friend gave each other in-home tats and you got one of Scottie Pippen. Is this accurate?
A tattoo. It says Pip 33. So it was the year that Jordan retired for the first time. He's off playing baseball, and I was like, "Man, fuck that guy. Pippen's the best player in the league. I'm gonna get a Pip 33 tattoo." And I still have it to this day, but I have not gotten another tattoo since. I kind of learned my lesson.
Have you ever come across Scotty, and have you ever showed him the tat in person?
Oh, dude, it was one of the most horrific moments of my life. So I was like, to kind of form a friendship with Steve Shanwald, you know, the infamous, or not infamous, but, you know, the guy who was there who at the lottery when we got the first pick 10 years ago whatever it was now. Mm-hmm. And he invited me to be his guest to that night, but I was working. I couldn't make it. So I was bummed about that. But I was at a game and Steve was like, "Zach, come here. I got a surprise for you." I'm like, "What?" He's like, come here. So he takes me over and he introduces me to Scotty. And my wife's there with me, and I'm like, "Oh, hey, nice to meet you." He's like, "Hey, yeah, nice to meet you too." And then Steve goes, "Hey, show him your tattoo." And I was like, no. He's like, "Show him your tattoo. He'll love it. And I'm like, "Oh God." I mean, I'm like, I was 13, you know, it's so embarrassing to show him. He's like, "Oh, okay. Clearly a little weirded out. And then my wife is like, "Yeah, and his dog's name is Pippin too." And I'm like, "Well," and then you know, my favorite player. And then my wife goes, "And the dog's a girl." I'm like, "It's a last name in a sex. It doesn't matter." And you can tell he's like, "All right, well, nice." Slowly backing away from, like, you know, this weird guy with a tattoo and a dog named after him.
That's fantastic.
That really is. So I want to get your take now. Let's talk about the Bulls here, modern day. Let's talk about like the last 4 years, maybe 3 years even, if you want to talk about the transition from somebody that I think this entire city fell in love with. And before we started recording, you were kind of getting into how you felt Derrick Rose was treated at the end of his time here. And then kind of the transition to this being Jimmy Butler's team. And obviously those things didn't work out. And now the Bulls hitting the full reset. So let's go back. Obviously huge Derrick Rose fan, I'm assuming. Talk to us about how you felt maybe the front office treated Derrick Rose, like how you felt maybe other fans feel the same way too, still here in the city. Well, he was kind of treated at the end of his tenure here at the Bulls.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess now that I even think about it, it all started with the way they treated Thibodeau. That was, I don't understand, like, the whole thing came in the front office and them just wanting so badly to bring Hoiberg. I mean, which, you know, you can't like hear rumors of something for so long and then you don't even talk to another coach and you hire this guy. It's like, clearly they just want to get rid of Thibodeau and bring And then, I don't know, the way they kind of just traded Derek to the Knicks for, like, I mean, low, but, you know, it's just kind of like they just wanted rid of him. And then they, you know, kind of, I don't know, man. I could go, it just is all garbage. Like, every move they've done, there's, like, no loyalty. You know, even think about, like, kind of how they got rid of Luol Deng. I just feel like that whole core was just kind of dismissed in a very unceremonious way. And then when you see, like, those videos of, like, a tribute to Jimmy when he comes back to play the first time or something, like, if I was that player, I'd be like, don't make a tribute to me. Like, you traded me away. You didn't want me. You know, like, no thank you.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, so, and then if they made all these moves and they treated players this way, but we had a quality team that looked like it made sense, you'd be like, all right, you know, it's kind of Machiavellian, but the ends justify the means. It just doesn't really seem like we're getting the ends that we want. I've heard you guys talk a lot lately, which I agree with. It's like the best case scenario the next few years is we're just going to be in mediocrity again.
Right.
And I don't know. I'm not, I mean, I don't know him personally. I don't, you know, I hate, you know, especially someone who's on my team. I do not get the LaVine signing at all. I actually, again, I'm such a hometown kid that in a way the Jabari Parker signing, I'm more excited about because there's just more heart there. Like there's more of a story there. And even with his 2-year deal, the upsides and the downsides, like I don't understand why we made those two contracts. It's like we should have done one or the other. And now we're kind of just stuck. It's just a disappointing time to be a Bulls fan, guys.
Yeah, no, I mean, Jordan and I try to find the light and find the good this offseason, and it's tough. If you've been listening, you know how I feel about the Jabari signing. I don't think it makes any sense. And I think you bring up a valid point with, like, all right, if you want to decide to match LaVine, that's fine. If you want to sign Jabari because you let LaVine walk, that's fine.
Exactly.
But like, you know, I worry about them clashing. And you mentioned that you were not a fan of how they treated Tom Thibodeau when they kicked him out of town a few years ago. And that from another, I think you were like talking on the Rich Eisen show a few years ago. You were talking about like, I'm not sold on this Fred Hoiberg hire. And you talked, you know, just now about how it seemed like maybe they were a little lazy in their quote unquote coaching search. Fast forwarding to now, you know, we're talking about, all right, Parker's going to clash. He's maybe not a great fit for this roster. LaVine, neither of them play defense. We got all these young pieces, and it's on Fred to make it work this season because they want them to be competitive again. Do you believe in Fred Hoiberg at this point? Are you still, now that we've seen him actually get the kind of pieces that he wants, not convinced that he has what it takes to coach in the NBA?
I mean, and take all this with a grain of salt that I'm an actor. Not a special basketball coach. But no, I'm not, I can't say he doesn't deserve to coach in the NBA. I don't know, but he hasn't done anything to make me think he should be coaching this team. Like, yeah. And I don't know who should be. That's the thing is you go back to Thibodeau and it really was like, why did you get rid of him? And how many years did they have to pay him just to walk away?
Perennial
all-star team.
Yeah.
Not all-star team, I'm sorry. Perennial
playoff team.
And so, yeah. So it just makes no sense. And they just, for whatever reason, were smitten with Hoiberg. And he hasn't, you know, I mean, here with Derek and Jimmy and all that, like, should have been, wasn't that the year they were 500?
Yeah, they just missed the playoffs too. Yeah, it was right at the end when Derrick Rose kind of that weird situation with him and Butler kind of butting heads and trying to figure out whose team this actually was. And they're like, you know what? Derrick Rose got two busted knees. All right, we'll ship him off to the Knicks. Jimmy, it's your team. And then it all of a sudden turned pretty quickly where it was like, okay, now they said it was Jimmy's team. But then now they're not convinced that they want to invest in Jimmy long term, especially at a supermax. And Matt and I have argued with this and multiple Bulls fans for a long time about we still believe that the decision to trade him last year, this summer, was the right decision for this Bulls team moving forward. And like we talked about multiple times, and I've tried to repeat this and drill this into Bulls fans' heads because I feel like sometimes it gets lost is like, what's the ultimate goal as a fan? Is you want them to compete for NBA finals. You want them to compete for championships. And we haven't, frankly, the Chicago Bulls haven't been back since the Michael Jordan days. And that's pretty sad. Like I was telling Matt, multiple first round exits, one Eastern Conference finals appearance. So that's my disappointment. So I guess I got to turn it back to what we have already. Are you buying into the Lowry Markkanen hype? How do you like him as far as a player goes? Are you
I like him plenty. You know, we need more time to see exactly what he's going to turn into. I think he'll be great. I actually agree with you that I was like, blow it up. Like, get rid of Jimmy. If you're going to do it, just do it. And I'm such a Derrick Rose truther that, like, I was rooting for Derrick versus Jimmy. And I honestly, I don't know if it's because I'm not in Chicago, but, like, I couldn't tell how much of, like, the rivalry between them was real and created. Because I remember even in the playoff game, I think it was versus the Bucks, and, like, Derrick hit that game-winning shot or game-tying or something. They were just so complimentary of each other in, like, the post-game interviews. I know, like, what I'll say, but if you do have an ego thing, you know, it's like even Scottie Pippen sat out of a game because Cooch Coach got the shot. Like,
right.
You know, Jimmy was like, you know, Derek, that's my big brother. Like, whatever. It's like, it just seemed genuine. I feel like this whole rivalry is someone else is creating it, but I don't know.
And what do you think about the rookie? Well, we got two first rounders this year. Chandler Hutchinson, I don't see being a big piece of this team, at least to start off. But what are your thoughts on Wendell Carter, the rookie from Duke? It impressed a lot of people in Summer League, but of course, Summer League is Summer League.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, who knows? Yeah, I'm excited. As everyone's saying, you know, it's the boring, but who else were you going to pick? There's part of me that, you know, wanted them just to, I know that you were way against this, but I was like, just take Michael Porter and see what happens. Like, take a risk. And if it fails, it fails. But, you know, and then it's funny, like all the stuff you guys, I'm like, maybe shut him down for the year. That sounds like a good idea. And then another season. But he's going to be good enough. And maybe Jabari gives us enough wins, and maybe Zach LaVine takes a step forward where we're not going to make the playoffs, but we're going to be like a high lottery team, and who knows what you get there. And we're just stuck. Like, we're just in, you know, such a cliche, you know, NBA purgatory or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
As a fan, that sucks. And I feel like Chicago fans are informed enough to not be like, oh, cool, we made the like, we could do that every year. It's like,
yeah, Zach, you're clearly not spending enough time on Bulls Twitter, because there's insane fans out there who are like, dude, we're going to be the 4 seed this season. Those fans exist. I think they're friggin' nuts, but they are out there.
Well, nice way to walk through life, like, to have that confidence. But we don't know what those people are. They might be 12, you know? Anyone can be on Twitter.
That's very true. All right, I want to transition a little bit to, like, how your lives cross paths with maybe athletes. You talked about Scottie Pippen before, but I'm curious, are there guys that you've worked with or girls that you've worked with in the past that are staunch NBA fans like you are for the Chicago Bulls? And if you can think of one right off the top of the head, off the top of your head, while it's whatever project you were working on, just every day, it was like something came up about the NBA and they were willing to conversate with you. Can you point out any of those, like, diehard, hardcore NBA fans that maybe people aren't normally used to thinking of them in that light that you've kind of noticed from behind the scenes?
Oh man, I'd really have to think about it, because I feel like I'm a little more of a diehard sports fan than a lot of actors are. Like, everyone has their team and they're excited, but I spent a lot of time talking to the crew about it. And I was fortunate. I got to work on a show for like 6 months in Chicago, which was not the highlight of my career, the actual show, but being in Chicago is one of the highlights of my career. And like, getting to be around a crew all day of like blue collar Chicagoans and just talk sports, that was like heaven for me. We literally, it was a show, so it was set in a hospital, and like, if there was a Monday night game that the Bears were playing, like, all the like flat screens in the quote hospital would put the Bears game on so we could watch in between takes.
That's awesome.
Which was pretty, I've never seen that in any other city that I've worked in. So that was pretty cool. You know, I'm trying to think if there's like a diehard fan that I can think of, and off the top of my head, I can.
Well, I mean, you were telling us before we started this interview that there is a Bulls fan of some kind that you're actually working on something with right now. Oh. She's most famously known for being an actor herself, and also the spouse of one Dwayne Wade, Gabrielle Union. Tell us what's going on with that project.
So I'm excited about that. We start shooting it next month. It's LA's Finest, and it's a TV show spinoff of from the Bad Boys movie franchise.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be fun. It's her and Jessica Alba, and it's basically, you know, bad girls instead of bad boys. And it's a really fun show. It's the same like kind of tone and everything as the movie. Big action show with, you know, a lightness sort of humor to it. But, you know, it's actually the second time I've worked with Gab. We did a small, small movie like 6 years ago in upstate New York. And it was right after Miami had lost to Dallas in the finals. And Dwayne actually like came up to like just get away from everything. And we're in the middle of nowhere. Like we didn't even, it's a movie where like we didn't even have trailers. We just had like a room in the house. We like one room for the four cast members to just sit in between stuff. And like Dwayne, you know, just came and kicked it. And I, you know, as a huge, you know, I've always been a Dwayne Wade fan, but that was the year, you know, like the wallpaper on my phone was Taj dunking over him from in the playoffs.
Yeah. Dude, I was at that game. That was like one of the highlights of my life.
Oh, it was amazing. And so it was fun, like being like, oh dude, look at my wallpaper. He's like, yeah, like, I'm serious. I'm like, oh dang. But he couldn't have been like nicer and kinder. And it was just so cool to see. I mean, it's Dwayne Wade. It's like a legend. It's a Hall of Famer to kind of be sitting with him and just, and he's just cool and normal.
Yeah. But I mean, the real question is, are you going to tell Gab that her husband just robbed this organization blind and signing him was a gigantic mistake and a waste of money? Because you need to have that conversation with Gabrielle Union.
No, good for them. Like, I mean, why wouldn't you sign a deal? And why would you be like, well, you know, I'm from Chicago, so I guess I'll let you have that $25 million you owe me. I'm like, nah, you want me to go? You got to pay me. Like, I have nothing but respect for the that. And I kind of love it when NBA organizations get, for lack of a better word, screwed over that way, because it's like, I don't know, my wife and I were actually talking about this morning, like with the NFL, how players can just like lose their contract. It makes absolute sense. And I know injuries, but it should be even more guaranteed because of injuries and stuff in the NFL and a career is over. But the fact that someone can just say, never mind, you're not employed anymore. It's like, oh, I thought I had $1 million coming to me.
That's been one of the biggest arguments about, you know, the NFL players and all these standout, these kind of holdouts, especially for rookies. Like the Bears, up until I think yesterday, still had their rookie, one out of their two rookies in the entire league had not signed, and Roquan Smith was one of them. But it's funny because NFL players are starting to talk about how these NBA players who, you know, yeah, their bodies are conditioned, but they're not taking the impacts that the NFL is, and their contracts aren't even guaranteed. And they look over at the NBA and these guys are getting, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars and it's all guaranteed. So I think it's totally true. And you're totally right about that. And that's the only thing I could side Dwayne Wade with as far as making the move to Chicago. And he does a lot of really good things around the city too, that I think went underwhelmed, but you're right. It sucks when your front office comes and tells you as a fan that we're going to get younger and more athletic. And then you go out and sign Rajon Rondo and you sign Dwayne Wade. And then basically Jimmy and Dwayne tear that entire locker room apart. And then they got to hit the switch on the rebuild. So, but I don't blame Dwayne Wade for getting the money. I blame the front office for paying him that.
Oh, completely. I mean, I think I said this before recording necessarily, but you know, there's been pains that I heard you guys say in quote defense of our packs. And I know you're just trying to make the argument of like, hey, let's be objective about this. And every time you make where it's like, oh, I guess that was kind of smart. You know, coming into the summer and then, you know, the Zach LaVine extension, I guess I understand. And maybe it is smart. Maybe he turns into this and we own him and he's young and we still have all this. But then they sign Jabari and you're like, wait, what are you doing? Like, if you really had a plan, you just showed your cards that you don't. And like, it's just a broken clock is right twice a day. And anytime they get it right, it's because you have to be smart enough, a little smart to be an NBA exec. So like, you'll do some things right, but I don't see any direction for this franchise and anything that they call a game plan. It's like, I don't buy it.
So do you think the problem lies with, I mean, you touched on the Reinsdorf family a little bit earlier, talking about the White Sox as well. Do you think it's just a matter of replacing Foreman and Paxson, or do you think that what this team really needs is a new owner?
You know, I was listening to you guys' episode the other day talking about ownership, and I'd like to, I think you could probably, I feel like the Reinsdorfs, I think it's Garpak. He's just got Garpak. Like, I feel like the owners have just given them so much leeway. I don't know why they listen to them, because they haven't done anything great. You know, they lucked into the Derrick Rose pick. That wasn't like strategy. And then from there, outside of that, it's like, it's just, they can keep them mediocre. Like, they've been really good at that. But if I were the owner, I'd be like, you guys, I mean, how can he not see a billboard that is crowdfunded that says fire Garpak and not feel like, man, I should do something for my family. And this front office hasn't done a ton for me.
Did you contribute to that GoFundMe page, Zach?
100% I contributed to that GoFundMe page.
Matt has given me crap on this show for I don't know, once or twice a week for the last
money
year
down
and
the
half
drain, man.
This.
Money down the drain. Reinsdorf doesn't care. Gar doesn't care. Paxson doesn't care. It's a billboard. Waste of money.
There's a handful of things that will irritate Matt on this show that I like to bring up. The Garpak's billboard is one of them. Jabari Parker signing was another. Another one is LeVar Ball, too. Matt likes to be destroyed by that. But going back to your conversation just about the Reinsdorf family in general and owning the team, I think there is a case there to make and say that the way that they run their franchises is very family business oriented. And same with the way that the front office runs it. There's connections, a million connections you can make to different players and why they took somebody here. The Fred Hoiberg signing, like 2 years in the making while Tom Thibodeau was still here. Like, you could even make connections to why they traded for Cameron Payne, you know, last year, 2 years ago.
Right.
And guys that were scouting him there, Gar really liked him. So overall, I think Jerry Reinsdorf, I think, gets the short end of the stick as far as the Bulls go, just because a lot of people talk about him being focused on the White Sox. He loves baseball. He's already said it on record that he would rather go win one World Series than six NBA championships. But in that same token, like, Bulls fans are complaining that they're cheap. But I said, if for the front office can commit to Jerry Reinsdorf and tell them that we've got something special brewing here, he's willing to spend. He's done it before. They were in the position to do it in 2010. They just swung and missed. And like you said,
you're completely right. And I'm not worried about them spending money. I think it's just more like, we want to win.
Absolutely.
You know? And I don't know. I just, they feel slimy. Like,
your,
you know,
feelings,
what I mean? It's like,
are the same as the Bulls fans all over the place. Like, you sit there and you're like, I can try and make a decent argument about them and positive things to say. And then you're like, at the same time, I'm sitting in on this fence and like, there's so many things that they've told us and done that it's like, it's so hypocritical, and it just doesn't seem like the way an NBA organization should be run. So I think your feelings as a Bulls fan can be projected among all the Bulls fans that are out there, or at least the majority of them.
And it's like, I had this weird thought the other day. I mean, as a kid, I always felt like first three-peat, there was Paxson, and in the second, there was Steve Kerr. Like, they kind of had his roles, in a sense. And we got stuck with the old school. We got stuck with Paxson, and look what Steve Kerr's done. Like, I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know. I feel like maybe there's some weird loyalty to Paxson because of what he was to the Bulls in the 90s, and Reinsdorf trusts him so much. But yeah, I don't trust any of them. Like, I've heard you guys talk a lot about the second pick we got in the first round,
Chandler Hutchison.
Thank you, Chandler Hutchison. You know, and so many people are like, oh, it's because of the connection to his agent, yada yada. But ultimately, it's like, well, it wasn't a bad pick. Like, who else were we going to take? But it is. It's like, it just feels slimy, and it's like, you don't want to feel that about your sports team. Like, sports are like an escape. And yeah, it shouldn't feel gross. And I think that's a big problem with every, like, we feel too by them, and we feel like they do shady stuff, and it just makes you feel not awesome about your team, and that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. And I think you're right when you say, you know, we love sports because it's an escape from the sliminess and the shit of all the other stuff in the world, and you don't want to see that, especially if it's a team that you've been cheering for your whole life. All right. Well, so let's not get too depressed about how slimy the Bulls are. Zach, I know this is a Bulls podcast, a basketball podcast, but I would get in so much trouble from all sorts of people, friends and family, if I let you go without asking you a couple of questions about football and primarily TV football. I feel like a lot of people who go on to have all sorts of success in Hollywood, and whether it be, you know, film and TV or stage acting or whatever it may be, that really get known and are known for a large part of their career as that person from that show or that movie that they become known for, because Friday Night Lights is just so adored and considered like one of the best TV shows ever, not just sports TV shows. Like, people are obsessed, myself included. Does it bother you that, like, when people hear Zach Guilford, they immediately think Friday Night Lights, or is that something that you can, you know, just keep with you fondly for the rest of your life?
Definitely the latter. I mean, it's an honor. I think as an actor, you're lucky if you get one project that becomes iconic in some sort of way, or that so many people love and adore, and that they will stop you for and say, you don't understand what that show meant to me, or that movie, or whatever it is. So, I really appreciate it. It was such a great experience for me. It made me a much better actor. It obviously opened every door to me that has been open to me. But all of us, I know all of us who are on that show, carry it as like a badge of honor and not as like something we need to like distance ourselves from or, you know, be embarrassed about. And I think that it's pretty cool.
One of the coolest things I think about the TV show, and I think Matt and I were discussing this either a couple of days ago or right before this, just talking about how transcendent the TV show in general was, like an age just when social media was kind of on its cusp. It was just at its birth. Like at the time, like YouTube was just starting, Twitter was just starting, Facebook was kind of on the up. I think it and appreciate how much people can relate to that TV show, where you can talk to somebody and most likely they've seen it. Very few TV shows I feel like you can do that with. How many times a day do you get Texas Forever, and how often and is it the same? Is it in the same light as maybe like Chadwick Boseman with Wakanda Forever? Is it multiple times a day? And do you expect it to continue for like the rest of your life? For a lot of people that are still young and loved the show and still continue to love the show.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not every day. It goes through ebbs and flows. It's weird. I get recognized more in Chicago than anywhere else. However, my favorite thing that's happened to me twice in Chicago, and I love, and it's never happened anywhere else, is, so like my rule of thumb is, if someone comes up to me and they're like, oh, you look just like that guy from Friday Night Lights or whatever, I'm like, oh, cool. And unless someone says, are you him? I just am like, oh, okay. Like, I'm not going to lie and say, no, it's not me. But I'm not going to be like, oh yeah, it's me. Hey, guess what? Finally, there were two times someone was like, you look just like that guy. I'm like, oh, cool. They're like, have you heard that word? They're like, that's crazy. No, he was like exactly like him. I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, no, like, totally like him. I'm like, seriously, that's crazy. I'm like, crazy. And they're like, it's not you, right? I'm like, yeah, it is me. And they're like, you're fucking liar. And they walk away. And I'm like, you just dragged this out of me.
That's awesome.
Actually, there's one last. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You got another?
Oh, I was going to say, the only thing I actually lied was one time my convinced me to go get a pedicure with her, and I'm like sitting there getting a pedicure, like my foot in the bath, and I'm in the massage chair thing, and this woman's like, oh my god, are you Matt Saracen? I'm like, nope, no, I'm not.
Definitely not him.
Hey, you know what?
Definitely not him.
In defense of you and your wife, Jim Tomei is known to be like an avid weekly pedicure guy. Like, even throughout his career, he was.
Right, well, there you go. I don't have to feel bad about it.
All right, Zach, another FNL question for you, and we appreciate how generous you're being with your time. This is, I just want to wear this as a badge of honor for the rest of my life. The first time I heard from you on Twitter via DMs is your response to me saying, hey, if you ever want to talk Chicago sports, I'd love to have you on either of my shows. P.S. I was rooting for Carlota. I never thought that Matt and Julie belonged together. I will wear this as a badge of honor. Your response, the first time we ever interacted, was you saying, I was rooting for Carlota too. Please expand upon that, because can we all just get over how horrible Julie was to Matt Saracen in that show?
Oh my God. I preached it the whole time we were there. The whole time we were shooting the show, I was like, I need to break up. Like, you treat me like crap. And then I finally get this like really hot older woman, Latin woman, and like, I'm like, yes. And then she just like kind of skates whole show, I was like, I don't understand why Matt is so in love with this chick and why the world is like, Matt and Julie, Matt and Julie, you guys belong together. I was like, no, we don't.
No.
She's mean. No.
And Carlota was such a sweetheart.
She was a wonderful young lady.
All right, last one. Do you still keep in touch with Connie Britton on a regular basis, or at least occasionally? And can you hook a buddy up with her phone number? Because I have had a serious crush on her since I started watching FNL years and years and years ago.
We live in the same neighborhood, so I actually ran into her recently. But I don't know if I could give your phone number. I'd have to ask her first. The next time I run into her, I'll be like, hey, there's this guy.
This is Bulls Blog. But,
he's got podcast. A Bulls podcast.
He's got a Bulls podcast. And I mean, I'm a big Bulls fan, so I vouch for him in that respect.
Hey, I mean, if she's looking for a younger guy, I'm young. I'm hip. I'm with it. And oh my God, I would treat her like the queen that she is.
That's the way you should treat any woman.
Well, that's true. But I mean, Tammy Taylor, whoo, man, crush hard. And any of those kind of crushy feelings between cast members when that show was being shot, I'm sure you get that question all the time.
We were pretty good about that. I used to work with like high school kids and do like backpacking trips where you take them backpacking for like weeks at a time. And, you know, when you take group of 12 teenagers, inevitably a couple of them hook up, but then inevitably there's drama within that short period of time. So I, going into that situation, was like, I'm going to stay away from all these people in any way outside of just like friendship, because it will just cause drama. But it is, we were pretty lucky, and I think that's why we're all still pretty friendly these days.
Zach, well, I got one final question for you here. Talking about Friday Night Lights, and I'm thinking about all of the sports TV shows and the stuff that Netflix has done in Hulu just after the fact of that. And like Hard Knocks, I felt like was kind of a push for that. But I was telling Matt that I feel like some of these shows that are so popular now, you look at Last Chance U, and while that's kind of a documentary series more so than a television series, I look at that and say, do you feel that kind of impact as far as a sports show that's kind of been transcendent among people, and obviously sports being really popular, but do you feel that when you see like shows like Last Chance U or some of these quarterbacking shows with high school kids and people, how engaged people are in high school sports? Because you look at it even at the basketball level in the AAU, how many people are willing to go on Facebook or Twitter and watch a live feed of them? So do you see how that transitions at all from going from Friday Night Lights and then now just seeing the explosion of everything in media and how a lot of it's kind of tailored towards that?
Well, you know, I think I remember Pete Berg, the guy who created Friday Night Lights, he said he was making the movie like, oh my God, this needs to be a TV show. The used car salesman is such a character. Like, I want to get in, like, know about him. And as opposed to just tell the story of this team this one season, and, you know, it's all about the state championship they get to. It's what's interesting is every individual who like is in love with this team and how this affects all their lives. And you can only do that in a TV show. So that's why he created the show. And I think there's so many people who said, you know, I'm a football fan. I love that show. And it's because you watch and it's not about football. It's about these individuals, these characters. And you start to care about them. And then you put it into like a documentary setting, like Last Chance U, which my wife and I are huge fans of, or even All or Nothing, or, you know, like you said, Hard Knocks. You see these people as individuals, as people, you know, their stories, and you start to root for them or against them, but you root for them. And it just makes you so much like the team's success becomes your success. And that's, you know, that's kind of what Friday Night Lights thing was like this community hinged on the success or failure of the team, and the pressure that put on these young kids' shoulders. But then you see that in real life in these docuseries. Yeah. So, you know, my wife and I'm very fortunate to if you like sports and you know, will indulge me and watch the series, but like even All or Nothing, and it seems like every season of All or Nothing or Hard Knocks, she's like, I'm a Buccaneers fan this year, that's my guy. Like, or like, you know, oh, now I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, and she's like, what, they cut Dez? Well, I guess I understand, but still, like, it's just you get to know these people, and it's hard not to root for them.
That's the dream, man. That's the dream, that you got to find yourself a life partner who loves sports and will tolerate your obsession with sports as much as you can. Like, that's good for you, man. Zach, we really appreciate you stopping by the show and being so generous with your time. Once again, he is Zach Gilford, actor, Chicago native, diehard Bulls fan. If you want to bug Zach about Friday Night Lights or the Chicago Bulls, you can follow him on Twitter at Zach Gilford 713. Zach, enjoy living out there on the West Coast. If you ever get homesick, Locked On Bulls is always here for you if you want to talk some Chicago sports, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Good talking to you.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Once again, want to thank our guest in Zach Gilford. You can follow him on Twitter at ZachGilford713. You can follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Our text and voicemail line is at 331-979-1369. Hit us up with all of your voicemails this week and your text messages, your reaction, or just thoughts on the Bulls coming up this year. We want to hear from you. 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, and our guest, Zach Gilford. We want to thank you, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan, for Matt, for Zach, we are out, Bulls Nation. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com